Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GodswordtoMan@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give unto you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know how we do this. We open up with prayer. Amen. And for those of you who are first-time listeners, this is what we do. Before we go into the message, whether we're preaching or teaching, we always open up with prayer. So wherever you're listening to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, for another blessed and glorious day you have blessed us to see. And we are also grateful, Lord, for this time that you have blessed us to assemble together in the Word of God, helping us, Lord, by giving us light through your Spirit, that we may know the truth and that the truth may set us free. Father, we pray tonight that your Spirit not only be with us, but that, Lord, your Spirit will release to us what we stand in need this day. Lord, I pray a particular and special prayer that you would anoint the words of my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to your name. So, Lord, I want to thank you for this golden opportunity you have given, and we give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Continue on in the series. For those of you that have been listening, you know I've been doing a series concerning the Jehovah's Witness, what they teach, what they believe. And we were coming from the Word of God, what the Word of God actually say on the matter. Amen. And as I explained to those of you before who've been following, and if you're first-time listeners, I want to reiterate this and say it to you, that in this series of the Jehovah's Witness, it's been divided into different sections, okay? And therefore, tonight, I'm starting a new section, and it's titled Jehovah's Witness, Section 2A. And in this section, we're going to discuss three more things concerning what the Jehovah's Witness believe and teach, amen? And we're going to come from the Word of God. And we're going to go by God's protocol in the mouth of two or three witnesses, according to Matthew chapter 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Because God said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. So if you're studying on a particular subject, and two or three witnesses that you find from the scriptures come into agreement about the meaning of such thing that you're studying, not you making up some for the word to say some it doesn't, but two or three legit witnesses. Amen. The same thing goes for if someone come to you and said, the Lord said, do this, do that, or thus says the Lord, you're called to do this and that. Okay, you have to go by protocol. And so now you need another witness. And one of those witnesses had to come to your spirit because it's got to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Plenty of people have gotten into wrong areas. They have gotten into wrong places where God have not called them because they did not follow this protocol. So we need to follow the protocol of God to walk in that which is right and reap the good benefits from what God has for us. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, once again, in this series, in this section of the series, as I said before, we're going to be talking about three more things concerning what the Jehovah's Witness teach and what they believe. Okay? And it's going to be salvation, the resurrection of Jesus, and human government, okay? And we're going to go into the mouth of two or three witnesses. So tonight we're going to be dealing with the first witnesses of these three things I named. Amen? So we're looking at it probably going to be two or three more sections, two or three more parts of this section, or however the Holy Ghost lead. Because I want the Lord's Spirit to lead. Amen? But I know that we have to follow his protocol. Because you can't use the Word of God against the Spirit of God, nor the Spirit of God against the Word of God, because they are one. Amen? Amen. So if the Holy Ghost is truly telling you to do a particular thing, you can't come back with the word to combat it because you don't want to do it. Amen? His word and his spirit agree. They are one. Praise be to God. So, once again, in this section tonight, it's titled Jehovah's Witness, Section 2A. And once again, I want to reiterate that we're going to be talking about three more things that the Jehovah's Witness teach and believe. Now, once again, I want to say this, too, again, that I'm doing this series on the Jehovah's Witness not to be, quote, bashing them and all that. But I'm doing this for particular reasons. One of the reasons is if you are believers, born-again believers in Christ, you need to know from the Scripture on how to minister to them, okay? Number two, if you are born-again believers, you need to know the Word of God that you don't be deceived by their doctrines, okay? Because their doctrines and teachings is in darkness. And I'm not trying to be funny when I'm saying that. I'm being straight up with you. Amen? Praise be to God. And so, therefore, it's vitally important that not only the Jehovah's Witness, but these other religions, what they teach and what they believe, we need to be rooted in the Word that we may stand. Now, I said this before, many times before. Some of us, even in the body of Christ, we have taken God for granted when he says, study to show thyself approved. We don't get into the Word of God, and so we're thinking just because we're going to throw the phrase out there that Jesus loves me, that we ain't got to do nothing, and Jesus is going to take care of everything. Well, let me hip you to something. If you don't get rooted in that Word, I guarantee you, as the devil is peeping you out now, he is going to send some people your way that's going to say some stuff that sounds so good and so right to your ears, it's going to be dead wrong and out of God, and you're going to be trapped. You're going to fall into sin. And so God said, hey, to avoid all that, you need to get rooted in my word. It's very important that we get rooted into the word of God, okay? I'm telling you now. And plus, another area in that is that if you're not rooted in that word, the enemy will send that fake word to you even when you're going through. And it's going to sound so good to your ears, you're going to be like, well, this must be God. You're going to follow it, find out you follow it into sin. Amen? Praise be to God. So, once again, the three things that we're going to talk about tonight that the Jehovah's Witness teach and believe, number one, concerning salvation, number two, the resurrection of Jesus, and number three, human government. So, let's start with salvation. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you what they say, and then I'm going to give you what the Word of God has to say on the subject. Amen? Praise be to God. And once again, we're looking at first witnesses tonight. And then when we come back with section 2B, it's going to be second witnesses and so on, okay? Because God said in the mouth two or three witnesses. So let me give to you what the Jehovah's Witness have to say about salvation. Salvation. Salvation by grace. Let me give to you to what they have to say on this. Now, once again, I told you before, the Jehovah's Witness has a book called the NWT, the New World Translation, and they claim that it is the actual translation of the Bible. But once again, I'm here to testify to you that that is not true. In fact, that's so far from the truth that I can't even give you how many numbers of miles or away from the truth that it is. But anyhow, they also had written other books. So when you hear me read to you what they teach and believe, and I named these other books. This is what they teach and believe, even concerning from these other books, okay? Now, this is what the Jehovah's Witness have to say about salvation. They said, immortality is a reward for faithfulness. It does not come automatically to a human at birth. Those people of goodwill today who avail themselves of the provision and who steadfastly abide in this confidence will find Christ Jesus to be their everlasting Father. You said, okay. Now, they go on to say in a book that they got called From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained They said, we have learned that a person could fall away and be judged unfavorably, either now or at Armageddon or during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign or at the end of the final test into everlasting destruction. Now, they go on to say, and this is the meat of it, we're talking about what they believe about salvation by grace, and I'm going to give to you one of the things that they say concerning salvation by grace, okay? In one of their books called The Watchtower, and I know many of you may have seen their books called The Watchtower, this is what they said. They said, make haste to identify the visible theocratic organization of God that represents his king, Jesus Christ. It is essential for life. Doing so, be complete in accepting its every aspect. So they said, make haste to identify the visible theocratic organization of God. Okay. Then they go on to say in the Watchtower, said, to receive everlasting life in the earthly paradise, we must identify that organization and serve God as part of it. So concerning salvation, one of the things they says is saying that for you to get saved, okay, concerning salvation, deliver from hell, deliver to be saved, you have to identify this particular what they call theocratic organization of God, okay? And that you have to serve God as part of it. Now, I want to hip you to what this organization or this theocratic organization they're talking about. They're talking about the Jehovah's Witness. In other words, they say you got to be a Jehovah's Witness or join the Jehovah's Witness in order to be saved. Okay? Another thing they say concerned about salvation by grace, they said that salvation is obtained by the combination of faith, good works, or obedience. Okay, so they throw in, now, once again, in one part, they're a little right concerning the faith, but they threw in the good works. Now, we will find out in this section that salvation, to be saved and be born again, doesn't come by works. Now, let us go into the Word and look at our first witness tonight concerning that. The first thing I want to present to you is the word grace. Is the word grace, okay? I want to give you a definition of the word grace as we get ready to go and look at our first witness tonight, okay? To what did Jehovah's Witness say? The word grace. Here's the definition according to Webster Dictionary. One of the definitions of the word grace is this, and I pray that you would give me your undivided attention. The word grace means unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. The definition of the word grace, unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Many of you say, well, okay, why you put the word grace out there? Okay. Because according to the Jehovah's Witness, from what I read to you, they're saying that in order for you to be saved, you got to be associated with the Jehovah's Witness. They're also saying in order for you to be saved, it's going to take works. See, this is one of the reasons why, and I give them credit for one part of what I'm about to say. This is the reason why they do a lot of field work, you know, going out house to house. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to be doing that. I'm just going to lay it out plain. One thing I give them credit for, they go house to house. But they believe in going out to house and doing that field work. That's what salvation about. That's what gets them saved. No, no, no. This is why I gave you the word grace. Because when you sum up the definition of the word grace, it is unmerited favor, undeserving favor. In other words, it's nothing you can do to get this favor, okay? Now, this is where we're going to go to our first witness tonight. We're going to go to John chapter 3. Our first witness is going to be Jesus, okay? So let us go to John chapter 3, and we're going to look at a familiar scripture that a lot of people can quote, okay? I didn't say they fully understand it, but a lot of people can quote. Even some just got, you know, totally ridiculous in their coat quoting because some wrestler have put it on there, and, well, anyhow, that's another story. But John chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 16 and verse 17, okay? Amen. Now, here's the thing. Once again, we're talking about salvation by grace. And once again, the Jehovah's Witnesses throw a couple things out at you. They number one, they believe that you have to be associated or connected to God, what they call theocratic organization. That's the Jehovah's Witness. In other words, they say you got to be a Jehovah's Witness to be saved. The next thing they said is works that get you saved. And so what I'm here to tell you that, no, the Word of God tells us it's by the grace of God. It is unmerited favor. We are saved by grace through faith. Now, faith has a part in it because we have to believe. But we're saved by grace through faith, okay? Unmerited favor, okay? Now, let's look at John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Now, look at what Jesus says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did you get that? Did you get that? By God giving his only begotten Son, get this, that was the grace. That was the unmerited favor. That was the favor. We didn't deserve it. There was nothing we could have done, hallelujah, to cause this to be. Notice the Bible said, for God so loved the world. It didn't say nothing about the world loved him. Do you get what I'm saying? So God did an act of favor for a creation that didn't love him. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's grace. And he said that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's being saved. That's salvation. So it's by the grace of God. It wasn't about the works. It's no works you could have done. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of you may say, but what that mean? We don't do no good. I didn't say that. I said to get saved and be born again is by the grace of God through faith. In other words, God did this act of favor when we didn't deserve it. There was nothing we have done or could have done to own up or have this favor done for us. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this is why the Jehovah's Witness is wrong in that, saying that it is by works and by you being connected to the organization. No, okay? And I hate to say it, this is one of the things we got mixed in Christianity, that we're not teaching the full truth. We're letting people think that because they're baptized and join the church, that's it, they say. That's not true. The Bible said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But we're letting people think, as long as you get baptized and join the church, you're good or you're okay with God. No, that ain't what the Word of God says. By grace, we're saved through faith. You got to truly believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. You got to receive in your heart what Christ done for you and be born again. That's salvation. There was no works you could have done. That's why when I've talked to certain sinners about being saved, they give me that whole resume about themselves. Well, I never drink, I never smoke, I never do blah, blah, blah. And I sit there and look at them. I said, now, if being saved was by your works, then Jesus died for nothing and had to be and rose for nothing, okay? The Bible said God so loved the world. Not the world loved him. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. That's favor. That's grace. Unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it, but that's what he did. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see from our first witness that it's not true. See, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus, and especially what he did for you. That's what salvation is, by the grace of God. By what he done. That's how salvation came. And we had to believe on it. That's all we could do. There was no works we could have done. You follow what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at the second thing, the resurrection of Jesus. Once again, I want to give you what they say concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let me read to you what they say about the resurrection of Christ. In one of their books called Let God Be True, they said this firstborn from the dead was raised from the grave, not a human creature, but a spirit. I'm talking about Jesus now. Also in Let God Be True, they said Jehovah God raised him from the dead, not as a human son, but as a mighty, immortal spirit son. Now catch that, because the first one I read to you, they said he was not raised not a human creature, but a spirit, and now they say he was raised as a mighty, immortal spirit son. Then they said for 40 days after that, he materialized as angels before him had done to show himself alive to his disciples. The next thing they say in the same book, Let God Be True, they said Jesus did not take his human body to heaven to be forever a man in heaven. Had he done so, he would have left him even lower than the angels. God did not propose for Jesus to be humiliated, thus forever, by being a fleshly man forever. No, but after he had sacrificed his perfect manhood, God raised him to deathless life as a glorious spirit creature. Okay? Another one of their books called From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained. They said, usually they could not at first tell it was Jesus, for he appeared in different bodies. Different bodies. He appeared and disappeared just as angels had done, because he was resurrected as a spirit creature. There go the word, there you go, spirit creature again. Only because Thomas would not believe did Jesus appear in a body like that in which he had died. One more. In a book called You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth, they said, having given up his flesh for the life of the world, Christ could never take it again and become a man once more. For that basic reason, his return could never be in the human body that he sacrificed once for all time. Now, I want to let you know a common theme of what they're saying out of this whole thing. They're saying that Jesus, when he resurrected, when he just rose as a spirit, and he didn't have no body. I'm just letting that sink in for a minute. That's why they keep saying he rose as a spirit creature, okay? And he didn't have a body. Well, let's go look at some witnesses on that, okay? Let's go to John chapter 2. Let's look at our witness today in John chapter 2. Jesus is going to say something here, John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 17 to verse 19. John chapter 2, verses 17 to verse 19. And what I want to show you is that, once again, the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong, okay? They're wrong. They're talking about where he was raised as a spirit creature, and he didn't have the body that he was crucified in. Wrong. Let's look at what the scriptures say. Now look at John chapter 2, and let's look at verse 17. It says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house have eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Okay? Because the Jews, you know, they was, he had a problem with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Jews. Man, my God. They were trying to twist him and catch him on his words and all that. They were just against him. And so now the Jews said, what? All these things you spoke about doing, what sign? You know, a lot of people, you know, instead of taking Jesus at his word, even today, and sad to say, some of God's own people, we want a sign. Instead of walking by faith like the Bible says, okay, and the God kind of faith doesn't depend on signs. It takes God at his word, and it stands on the word and repeated word. Well, you have people today, they want a sign before they even believe anything, okay? That's not the God faith. But once again, that's another broadcast. Now, the Jews said, what sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? Now watch what he says. In fact, I'm going to go a little further to verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus said, you own a sign? Here go your sign. Destroy this temple, okay? And in 3 days I will raise it up. Verse 20, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Now, show you where they mind at. They're thinking about the building, the literal building that they're in. Look at the next verse, what it says. But he spake of the temple. Jesus said, you destroy this body I got, I'm in. He said, I'm going to raise it up. See, that's the resurrection. He was raised with a body. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when the Jehovah Witness talking about, well, he was raised as a spirit creature and he didn't have the body, well, they're wrong. Right here, John tells us in the scripture here that when he told them to destroy this temple, I'm going to raise it up, he was talking about his body, the resurrection. Because what is a overall resurrection? Well, you got a mortal resurrection and an immortal resurrection. But overall, a resurrection is when the spirit and soul come back together with the body. Now, in an immortal resurrection, which Jesus was raised to, that body is changed. The same body, but it's changed. But it's not, the mortal is not at a point where it can die again. Now, as we go further in this section, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, okay? But Jesus let him know, he told him right here, I'm going to have a body when I rise. He said, because you destroyed this temple, I'm going to raise it up. And the Bible tells you what he was talking about. He was talking about his body, okay? So how is it that Jehovah Witnesses, you know, is getting that when he was resurrected, he didn't have a body? Well, I tell you what, they didn't get it from the Word of God here. And like I told you, their book, which is called the NWT, one of their main books, that book is a translation that comes from their so-called scholars. It ain't nothing from where the Holy Ghost gave. It's from their scholars. See, they believe a lot in their so-called scholars, okay? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they believe a lot in what man thinks. Because one of the things you will find out by Jehovah's Witnesses is that they love the word reason or logic. Everything to them got to be logic or reason. Easy to the mind, as they say. Well, guess what? Everything Christ did in doing miracles was not explained with reason or logic. When the man had a withered hand and he restored, what kind of logic or reason could you explain for that? Anybody tell me. Somebody tell me. You can't. Period. That was a supernatural act, move of God. That was a miracle, okay? You ain't seeing too many people that got withered hands or either withered foot, all of a sudden, root just grow out. Normal. No, you ain't finding that. And I tell you, if anybody were to witness to that, they're going to be on CNN news and all kinds of news shows. And then man going to try to discredit it. Well, this is why it happened. We shot some dye in them. I don't care what you say. That was a supernatural move of God. And so Jesus let them know here in this verse here, I'm going to have a body when I rose. When I raise up, when I be resurrected, I'm going to have a body. So the first witness tell you right there, the Jehovah's Witness is wrong. Okay? They're wrong. I mean, talking about Jesus is not going to have a body. He was just raised as a spirit creature. No. That's not scripture. That's something that they came up with. Amen. Hallelujah. Got to be careful, people. We got to be careful. Glory to God. We got to be careful. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at the third thing, the human government part, what they have to say concerning human government. I want to give you some things, once again, of what they believe, what they teach, what they have to say on it. Amen. And I want to come to you with the Word of God. Now, this is what the Jehovah's Witness have to say on concerning human government. In one of their books called, once again, Let God Be True, they said, any national flag is a symbol or image of the sovereign power of its nation. And they go on to say, all such likeness, symbols of a national power, eagle, sun, lion, etc., are forbidden by Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 through 6, the commandment against idolatry. They go on to say that hence, no witness of Jehovah who ascribes salvation only to him may salute any national emblem without violating God, Jehovah's commandment against idolatry as stated in his word. In other words, they refrain from saluting the flag of any country. They refuse singing any nationalistic songs. They give reasons for not being involved in politics or the government. And their reasons be they believe that Jesus had refused the rule of the kingdoms of this world, which was offered by the devil. That's what they said. They believe that Jesus' refusal to be made king of Israel by the Jews is the reason why they don't become involved in politics or government. And then they believe that when Jesus said his followers and his kingdoms are not part of this world, that gives them a reason not to be involved in politics or government. Now, this is what I have to say on this in coming from the Word of God. Now, I understand to some degree, you know, the Bible lets you know that there is positive symbolism and there are negative symbolism. And no, you don't want to be saluting anything that poses negativity. I agree with that. This is what I want to say coming from the Word of God. God is not totally, and I hope that I will make this clear because I don't want to confuse anybody. God is not totally against human government. Now, get this. That don't mean that everybody that is planted in the human government that is evil is planted by God. I didn't say that. Okay? But I want to go to one witness tonight to show unto you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Chapter 22. And we thank God for his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter, and we're going to look at verse 15. I'm going to read verse 15 to verse 22. And the word of God says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, let me stop there for a minute because you got to be careful. I want to say this before I go on. You know, this is one of the reasons why we need the Holy Ghost to give us proper discernment. Because sometimes people will butter you up, but they have a plan to try to trap you. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you got to watch people trying to gas your head up, as they say, get you the big head, talk about how great you are, how dynamic you are, and all that. You better watch that, okay? Even if you're a servant of God, I don't care if God used you in the gift of healing or the gift of prophecy or the gift of word of wisdom or word of knowledge, and that thing came to pass and came true, you better be careful of people gassing your head up and trying to pump you up and make you seem like you're so great. Because everybody ain't for you. I say it again, everybody is not for you. And even though they may smile in your face and say all them goody two-shoes things to you, they're trying to entangle you. Now, I thought I put it in that. Now, let's go on. Now, verse 17, after they try to butter Jesus' head up, you know, they said, tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Verse 18 said, but Jesus perceived their wickedness. The Bible called it wickedness. So when they were trying to trap him and entangle him, God said, that's wicked. Now, you want to try to trap me, then you would try to entangle God. Man, you messing up big time. Okay? I say big time to the big degree. And so, therefore, the Bible said, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Oh, goodness. Jesus called me hypocrite, okay? Talk one thing, you live another. Okay, so he said, why tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money, and they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Wow. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Ain't nothing else they could do. They tried to trap him, and he dropped it on them. Okay. You know, that's bad when somebody try to trap you. God give you a word, tell them, and they look bad. They looked bad. They had to walk away. That's why the Bible said they marveled. They were so astonished at his answer that they couldn't come with nothing. So they had to go, okay? Now, Jesus said in verse 21, after he asked, whose superscription is this? He said, Caesar. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render to God the things that are God. Now, one of the things we must understand, the Pharisees weren't true followers of Christ. But I want to say this to true followers of Christ. What Jesus is doing is keeping his followers balanced. Okay? Now, notice what Jesus didn't say, or what he didn't say. Jesus didn't say, just give them to me and don't give nothing to Caesar. Because remember, Caesar was the government, per se, at that time. Okay? The ruling government at that time, the ruling governing body, okay? And Jesus did not say, give just to me, give just to the Father, don't give nothing to Caesar. But he said, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, that belongs to Caesar, and give unto God the things that belongs to God, okay? Hallelujah. Nor did Jesus say, give unto Caesar and don't give nothing unto me. He didn't say that, okay? Amen. Because there has to be a balance, okay? Has to be a balance. Now, let's take a as my brother Lee would say, let's take a sidebar for a minute, okay? And the sidebar, I want to say a little something about Caesar for a minute here. And then I'm going to give you why I'm saying this about him, okay? Amen. Thing I want to say about Caesar. In Nelson Dictionary of Biblical Words, when you look up about Caesar, there was more than one what is classified Caesars. But there was one particular around this time, according to Nelson Dictionary of Biblical Words, the Caesar that was in government and rulership at that time that we read here in Matthew chapter 22 was named Tiberius. And it says that Tiberius was the stepson of Augustus. This is the Caesar that is mentioned in the gospel, except for Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now, it goes on to say that this Caesar, Tiberius, was suspicious of rivals, and he was severe in discipline of offenders. Okay? So you say, well, Brother Nate, why are you giving us that information about this Caesar? Well, notice it says he was severe in his discipline. So even when the government is not so right, God still wants you to do right. That thing that belonged to them, give unto them. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. You look at our government here in the United States. Is they all together right? No. Okay. But that which is right, you think God is going to have you doing wrong? No. Okay. That which is right, do that which is right. Now, you have many people say, I ain't doing right, and the government, blah, 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 and blah, blah. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Amen. When it's that which is right, you have to do that which is right. Okay? Do you know that when people do you wrong, do you think God say do back wrong to them? No. If someone stole something from you, you know who it is, and let's say you got the opportunity to steal something back from them. You think God going to say, well, you got the right, go ahead and do it. No. But you got to do that which is right and what? Not steal. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, here's a question that we're going to answer on the side here that will come up from this. And let's go to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Answer this question right quick. Amen. Now, some may say, okay, Brother Nate, if we got to do that which is right, even though the government ain't altogether right themselves, what if they tell you, say, hey, we passed this law that you can't worship Jesus anymore? Or we passed this law that everyone that's claimed to be a Christian got to accept Islam. Or everyone that is a Christian, you can't pray in Jesus' name. You can't do a sermon in Jesus' name. What do you do? Do you honor that? Well, look at what Peter said in verse 29. That'll answer this. Okay? Verse 29 said, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, some of you may say, okay, now, what they got to do with that? Because if the law they pass contradicts the law of God found in his word, you ought to obey who? God rather than men. That's the time when God will back you up and support you. So therefore, if they tell you, say, hey, you can't pray no more in Jesus' name. If we come to your synagogues or we come to your buildings of worship and we hear y'all praying in Jesus' name, we're gonna tax y'all. We're gonna do this and that. So you gotta quit praying in Jesus' name. But you don't have to honor that. Amen. Now I come to understand that many in the reporting of Jehovah's Witnesses, they have turned to say, hey, we will obey the laws of the government long as it doesn't conflict with our beliefs. Well, that's the same way as the Christian. Okay. But then for me to say that, okay, for example, someone said, well, should Christian be in politics? Why not should a Christian run for office? Because what? Do you want to put in the things of God in the government? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying let all politics consume you and take the place of your place with God. I mean, take the place of God. I'm not saying that. But we need Christians in office. Okay? Amen. Everybody that's in the human government has not been planted there by God. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, this is what I'm saying to you. As I came with this last scripture here, we are to give unto the government the things that belong to them. We are to honor the laws to a degree. When it contradicts true law of God, no, we don't have to honor that. And guess who you got backing you up? Jesus Christ. But if you just being a renegade and you just fighting whatever that they bringing out, Jesus ain't supporting you, period. He ain't backing you up. I mean, they tell you the speed limit 75, you running 95, okay? Get a ticket, get pulled over, say, hey, this just the government, and I ain't going for this, and blah, 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 and you go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I got your support. You ain't going to hear nothing from him, okay? Amen. But once again, if they trying to come at the law and overtake or overrule the law of God, then you got a case there, buddy. You can stand up and say, hey, no, I'm not honoring that. If they pass the laws that is moving you to hate or to do evil or do undermine it to people, you don't have to honor that. You know, even on our jobs, you know, we have to listen to our supervisors, but there's a boundary. If your supervisor is trying to use you to set up somebody so they can get fired, you ain't got to honor that, okay? And if you're a true Christian, you should be convicted, even if you have thoughts of, yeah, I'm going to do it. No, you should be turning around and saying, hey, listen, well, I ain't doing that. Nope. I ain't going to do that. Well, you at? I don't care. Well, you can fight. See, you'll have God backing you up then. Amen. Hallelujah. So God not just what you said totally against the human government. He don't agree to everything they're doing, which there's going to be a change because one of the things Jehovah's Witnesses are right about, the overall government of Christ, which is going to rule the whole world, and that time will come, is going to be the greater thing. I agree with that, okay? The Word of God agrees with that. Amen. So glory be to God. Grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for this. So we discussed these three things. We came with our first witnesses tonight. When we come back with Jehovah Witness Section 2B, we're going to look at second witnesses on these same three things. Okay? We're going to do the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's what the Word of God said, and let everything be established. Let all word, every word be established, okay? Glory to God. So we must understand these three things. Number one, by grace we are saved through faith. It ain't works, okay? Counseling. Ain't nothing you could do. I don't care if you're the richest man in the neighborhood, you're going to church, you're putting $1,000 on the plate every Sunday, that don't save you, okay? You could go out there and give clothes to the poor, okay? That don't save you. You say, well, we're supposed to do it, don't we? Yes, we do. But that don't bring the salvation. It is by grace you save through faith, okay? Now, yes, do our good works. Our good works must follow after that. Don't get me wrong. But if you're depending on just the works alone, and like I said, this is the thing that has misled many people. And this is why you got more baptized members in the church and not saved folks. All they is a baptized member. Guess what? Jesus ain't just coming for baptized people. He comes for born-again believers. Okay? Now you say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate, we don't need to get baptized? I didn't say that. That's part of the plan of God. But when you're making it the main ingredient, you're in trouble. Because water baptism is not the main ingredient for you to get saved. Amen? You're saved by grace. It was an undeserving, unmerited favor that God did for us. Hallelujah. He gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. It didn't say for God so loved the world and the world loved him back that he gave his only begotten son. No. Didn't say that. Amen? Hallelujah. It said for God so loved the world. The Bible tells us that he loved us first. Yeah. He did. To do an act like that, what he did, that's love, and that's favor, amen? And that's favor where you can't go and tell anybody that you earned it. There's nothing you could come up with, because if grace, salvation by grace was by works, then that means you would have a right to say you earned the salvation by doing what? Maybe like they do, running out, going house to house, or, you know, I gave all my old clothes to some particular people, to the homeless. Then, if salvation came that way, then you have a right to say, I earned my salvation. But see, you can't say it when there was an unmerited favor done on your behalf for you to get it. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, hallelujah. We're saved by grace. Grace. By grace you saved by through faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the precious word of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So, before we close out, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful once again that your word is you and is real. Thank you, Lord, for the golden opportunity you've given us to assemble in your word tonight. Father, I thank you for the presence of your spirit, power of the Holy Ghost, because, Lord God, your word is to be praised and to be glorified. So, Lord, we lift you up and we magnify you, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for being God, the ruler of all things, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. Don't forget, Lord say the same, tomorrow night, Brother Emmanuel Murphy will be on. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. And the Lord say the same, I will be back Tuesday with a Jehovah Witness Section 2B, looking at the second witnesses. Look for that advertisement. Praise be to God. So, once again, thank God for all of you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate with None of God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives.